Blog Talk Radio.com.
Greetings and salutations, listeners. This is Christopher Daniels.
Hey, this is Trish Stratus.
This is the undisputed future of WWE, Seth Rollins.
I'm Sunday the Marella.
Hey, this is James from WWE.
This is your favorite knockout, Tara.
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar.
This is WWE Superstar The Miz.
The greatest man that ever lived. Always liked a good rap. And you're listening to the greatest rap.
Stratisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
Did someone not get what they wanted? Oh, that's too bad.
Bada boom! Realest guys in the world. How you know?
I'm a little teapot, short hamster. Here is my hand. Here is my spout. When I get all steamed up, hear me shout, tip me over and pour me out.
With your host,
Yeah, kitty,
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
Oh my God, it's Taker, 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 Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And her producer, Sir Rocket.
All you have to do is believe!
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
For him.
Welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at Wrestling Figure Wednesdays. Go to YouTube.com/MBG1211 for all your stop-motion wrestling action figure needs. I am your host, Lindsay Ward, and joining me, as always, is my ever-faithful producer-slash-handyman-slash-fireworks-launcher and co-host, because it is the 4th of July after all, Sir Rockin'.
Hey, fireworks go boom boom. Yay!
We're going to blow stuff up because that's what we do here in America. Ding!
America. Hell yeah.
So we have a lot to get into tonight, but before we get into that, I want to give a huge birthday shout out to our buddy Wit. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
So, yay. Hope she's having fun and not getting too blitzed to the point where she will regret it in the morning.
She will.
Oh, okay. Well, Godspeed. Have fun. Have one for us.
Exactly. Right off the bat, we need to tell everybody, if you follow us on the social media, we've updated some things. It's now facebook.com/rockradioshow and twitter.com/rockradioshow. So keep that in mind when you tweet us and tag us and all that fun stuff.
Regular Twitters have stayed the same, but yes, everything is now Rack Radio Show, so we're all branded new and fancy and shiny, and I actually updated our Twitter. After 3 years, I actually updated our Twitter.
It needed a little bit of an update.
I finally remember what the password was.
Hell yeah. Plus,
comes to my phone.
It comes to her phone. But coming soon will be a new rockradioshow.com.
Yes, he's been feverishly working away on it, and we're very, very, very close to a launch. So maybe next week?
Maybe.
Possibly?
Unless I change things again.
Oh, Lord.
I'm not. I don't think. I think I'm settled. She saw something that's working on the website.
Yes, I've gotten to see one thing, and it works.
Well, you've seen two things. You've seen the slider thingy and now the flip thingy.
Yes, we have thingies.
Thingies that flip and thingies that slide.
We're getting fancy
on this thing.
Yes, we are.
Be ready for it. But we have news tonight, Lindsay, and it revolves this show.
It does.
Yeah. We're bringing back an old favorite.
We're bringing back Question of the Night. #Throwback Thursday.
Hey, see? They're bringing it back.
And our Question of the Night is as follows.
Will Finn Balor win the NXT Championship this Saturday at Beast from the East?
Possibly. Maybe.
Talk about that later.
Yes. Yes, we will. Sorry, there was sound and it distracted me. Sorry! So, well, we have other news we have to get into, brought to you by our friends over at pwmania.com and tnasylum.com, the haven for TNA fans. And actually, we have a lot of TNA news this week. We're going to kind of talk about a couple other items before we get into that, because there's some huge news coming out of Impact that we need to discuss. And we kind of want to talk about Impact and Slammiversary and some of the events that happened around Slammiversary and kind of just get more into that a little bit. But before we do, just a couple really, really, really quick news items. Jimmy Uso has been named the announcer for the summer for SmackDown.
Yeah, he'll be filling in for Byron Saxton, who Byron Saxton is filling in for Booker T, and Byron Saxton's working with Tough Enough. Even though we never see him on Tough Enough, he's working down there during Tough Enough, so he's no longer at the SmackDown tapings, which is why Jimmy Uso is filling in for him.
I'm actually okay with this change. I am completely 100% okay with this change. I kind of wish they would make it permanent.
Jimmy Uso's a good talker. Don't moan, kind of, and scream of excitement whenever Dean Ambrose swings his stick.
Oh, my.
Just saying. That's what happened tonight. He was going, Yeah, it was kind of, different.
It was kind of special?
Kind of special.
Got it. Yeah, no, definitely swinging the moaning when the big stick is being swung is never good. And I think it's probably somewhat instinct to do that, just to even just sell it vocally.
Every time he gets it, anyway, going to steer clear of that, because we're not going to
go there about the big sticks.
No, Dean had a stick out all night, and people were mounting Dean. Moving on.
Bray has a crush. Just a little bit of a crush. This is basically Bray and Roman fighting for Dean's love, and I love it.
Pretty much.
Well, so far, Roman's winning, because Dean loves Roman unconditionally.
Would be interesting if Dean left Roman for Bray.
Would be interesting. Would be very interesting. And that would be kind of cool to see if Bray Wyatt can succeed in driving a wedge between Roman Reigns and Dean Ambrose. Wonder if he can pull that off.
If anyone can.
It's Bray Wyatt. So we'll have to see. Another quick note. Paul O'Brien, former guest of the Rack, is helping Jim Ross, another former guest of the Rack. I love it when our people collaborate.
Right.
Write his autobiography.
Yeah, he's going to be one of the co-authors of Jim Ross's biography, which is pretty damn cool. It was revealed on Jim Ross's podcast earlier this week. Congratulations to Paul O'Brien for being a part of the Jim Ross autobiography.
I would agree. Yes, congratulations to him, and congratulations to Jim Ross. I cannot wait to read it. I'm sure it's going to be awesome.
Wrestling books are always awesome to read.
So, yes, and, especially when we get them in the mail at random. It's fantastic.
It really, really is.
Makes you want to go, yes, yes, yes.
Or find the Jesus.
In this case, the wrestling Jesus, because we already found the Jesus. Thanks, Sean. So,
anyway,
because we're being completely random tonight, because I'm in a weird-ass mood. So, all right, we got to jump into it. We have to talk about TNA, GFW. TNA had Slammiversary this past Sunday. Previously last week, the big news was Jeff Jarrett appeared on Impact Wrestling on Wednesday night, where he was put in the King of the Mountain match. He was also inducted into the TNA Hall of Fame. Spoilers. Which is going to be coming here in the next few weeks. For those of you that didn't see Slammiversary, he did, in fact, win the King of the Mountain match, in which they pulled the old TV/Legends/whatever the hell it was, global title. Out of mothballs.
Yeah, it was the Global Championship.
The Global Championship, okay.
Fitting. And fitting, it was global.
Fitting, yes, very fitting. Pulled it out of mothballs and gave it to Jeff Jarrett as a prize for winning King of the Mountain. So now Jeff Jarrett is their King of the Mountain champion. And God help us if he has to defend that thing. Hopefully not. Hopefully it's just kind of sort of an honorary permanent thing.
Next year's maybe next year's Slammiversary?
If there is a Slammiversary next year.
Right.
And that's something we need to get into. But this, and with Jeff Jarrett's return, I'm trying to figure out how to do this, came a slew of departures. And this has nothing to do with Jeff Jarrett returning per se, but 7 people have left TNA, including several feature performers such as James Storm, Austin Aries, Low Key, and several others left TNA. Slammiversary was their last show with the company. They wrapped up there, and they've now moved on to other things. They will still be on TV because they filmed TV prior to the pay-per-view, but 7 people are gone from TNA with more following.
And if you listen to certain people in the company, they've just now signed free agent deals with the company. No, that's not a thing. Just free agent deal. Free agent means they're a free agent and go wherever they want. As hard as you're trying to spin it now. Yeah, they're going to come back and they've agreed to work with us. If you pay them money. But James Storm asked to leave.
Yeah, that's such really troubling thing. James Storm has been there since day one, and he's seen every high and low TNA has ever had. And the fact that James Storm asked for his release says a lot about where the company's at financially, because he's a guy, he would see it through, but he also is in it for the money. At this point, he's got a family he has to support, and he needs to make that dough, and him not being able to work shows hurts him financially. And I understand him asking for his release. I'm sure he probably didn't want to ask for his release, but he's got to move on and do other things. But it's a very troubling sign when you have people requesting to leave your company, especially long-term employees who probably had some of the better deals. Like, Storm probably had a pretty sweet deal with TNA, seeing as he'd been there for 11, 12 years. He's a former world champion. He's a former tag team champion. You know, the list goes on of all of his accomplishments within the company. And he walked away to potentially go work for any of the competition that's out there, whether it's ROH, whether it's GFW, whether it's WWE. That's pretty disconcerting.
Oh, it really, really is. All right, switching gears slightly, but it stays on topic, kind of, somewhat. And this I just saw this on Facebook. It reads as following: we wish TNA executive Andy Barton all the best as he pursues a new opportunity. For those who don't know who Andy Barton is, doing a little quick research, he's the executive vice president of International Integrated Media Company that produces sports entertainment and consists of the following business units: live and television entertainment, consumer projects, digital media, sales, and sponsorships. Their executive vice president is no longer with the company.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of a big deal. After 13 years, he's gone.
Yeah, you're now seeing long-term people leaving, which... And this isn't meant to bash TNA. This isn't meant to...
These are facts.
These are facts. This is not meant to be derogatory. It's more troubling as a wrestling fan, because we are fans of TNA. Even though we don't really cover it anymore, we are fans of the product. We have enjoyed the product. But it's very disconcerting at this point when you start seeing people leaving in droves, not only executives, not only office people, but talent. I mean, 7 people in essentially a month is a big deal.
No, it's not 7 people in a month. It's 7 people in a week.
Okay. I wasn't sure a week or a month, but 7 people in a week. And some of them are your top performers. I know TNA is dismissing it, and I would agree that if it was 7 curtain jerkers who you don't really get, you know, you don't really know their name, yeah, okay, that's 7 curtain jerkers. You know, it's not a big deal. But when you have guys like Austin Aries, James Storm,
2 former world champions,
Magnus,
3 former world champions,
leaving, and let's see, Low Key left,
former X Division champion.
Former X Division champion Samuel Shaw, who, you know, is...
Had an awful gimmick.
Had a lot of potential, but he had an awful gimmick.
Gunner, who was supposed to be the future of the company.
Yeah.
They pushed him last year. He's going to be the future of this company, and now he's gone. He's no longer with the company. Mickey James, no longer with the company.
Former Knockouts champion. Former multiple times.
Multiple-time Knockouts champion.
But, you know, when Magnus left, you knew Mickey was going.
And here's the thing. Let's go on. Staying on the Magnus thing, he is now going to work for Global Force Wrestling.
Yep.
Where did they take a picture and post it all over Twitter at? In front of the Impact Wrestling logo.
Yep, there's a picture of Magnus with Jeff and Karen Jarrett. talking about how Magnus is signed with GFW. I imagine Mickey James is not far behind. And we were talking about this before we really got on the phone, which was, if GFW was smart, they would sign Storm.
And he could go work for them. And there's a sort of talk about an invasion angle. And trust me, I don't think the invasion angle will work, especially when invasion angles are supposed to be surprises and shock people. But when everyone knows the spoilers, you're not shocking anyone.
Yeah, it's really hard to do an invasion angle when you're taping TV 3 months out, which is what TNA is forced to do based on their, just really kind of almost based on their financial situation at this point. They're not able to kind of do what WWE does with NXT, which is they tape it a month in a shot. And they do 4 episodes or 5 episodes, depending whatever, per show or total, and do two episodes per show. And then they have it in the can and they air it. TNA is taping at this point, after this next set, will be what? Taped up to November?
If the reports are true that they're no longer taping one night only pay-per-views, they could. They still. Say they're scheduled for, what, 7 or 8 days in Florida at the end of the month, from the 22nd till the end of July. That's a bunch of dates.
Mm-hmm.
Say they taped Impact 5 of those days, and the rest they use for pay-per-views, right? If you do the math, 5 days of TV taping, two episodes of Impact per taping, that's 10 weeks of television. And that's on the low end of 10 weeks of television.
That's a lot of TV to have in the can.
And that does include international shows and one-night-only shows. 10 weeks. A lot of things in the world happen in 10 weeks.
Yep.
You talk about how NXT tapes 4 weeks at a time, 3 to 4 weeks, but they don't use the same people every week.
No, they don't.
You're not taping a 2-hour wrestling show. You're not taping 4 weeks of 2 hours of TV in a shared amount of span. No, you're taping 4 1-hour shows. That's it. With different talents on each show. A lot of some talent on every show, but you're throwing in different matches every week. So it's really one long TV show broken up into 4 weeks.
It is, and they do a very, very good job with NXT of moving it along and keeping it fresh and making it feel like it's not taped. And Impact does that on occasion, but there's the psychology of knowing that it's taped and knowing that this was taped back in July, that it kind of hurts it. That you know, it does have a shelf life, it can't get stale, and it's just like, eh?
Right.
Eh?
Right.
And that's not any fault of TNA. That's not any fault of the wrestlers. It's they do what they have to do, unfortunately, but...
It's one of those things. You look at it and go, it's bad. She said it stales the product out. It really, really does. Then on the flip side, okay, we mentioned Magnus, James Storm, Austin Aries. Fine. Bobby Roode is working the TV tapings for GFW. Why?
Yep.
Why? Other than to sell tickets...
Well, it's like you and I were discussing. It's you only have so many names in the talent pool. ROH is locking up their talent to ensure that they don't go anywhere else and they don't do TV for anyone else. TNA is locking up their talent to ensure that they can't go do TV anywhere else. So unfortunately for Jeff Jarrett and GFW, they need names. They can sign as many people as they want, but if they haven't really been exposed on U.S. television, nobody's going to pay to see them. So Jeff really does have to grab guys like Magnus and Rude and Storm. They're not household names, but they're known. And they're going to sell tickets, and people are going to know, especially where Jeff is running. If he's running anywhere in the South, Storm will draw.
I agree.
And so it's, you do what you have to do, and it is unfortunate because I don't want to see GFW become TNA 2.0. And that's what it feels like it's becoming, is TNA 2.0.
It really, really does. Listen to this, and then we'll react.
In 2004, Jeff Jarrett gave Bobby Roode an opportunity that no one else in the wrestling business gave me before. A chance to prove why I belong in the world of professional wrestling. And with that opportunity, I went on to become a 5-time TNA World Tag Team Champion, a 2-time TNA World Heavyweight Champion, and held those titles longer than anyone else in company history. You see, if you're not in the wrestling business to become a world champion, you're simply in the wrong business. For 17 years, I've been in professional wrestling, and every single day, that's all I ever think about. Being a world champion. when I heard that Global Force Wrestling was having a tournament in Las Vegas to crown its very first GFW World Champion, I told myself, the It Factor of Professional Wrestling needs to be a part of this. You see, for over a decade, I've been a part of Impact Wrestling. I've held tag team championships, world championships. So people are asking me, why? Why, Bobby? Why do you want to go to Global Force Wrestling? Why do you want to become the GFW World Heavyweight Champion? Well, the answer is very simple. You see, Bobby Roode is selfish. I got into this business to be a World Heavyweight Champion, and no matter if it's at TNA Wrestling or Global Force Wrestling, Bobby Roode will be a World Champion. And in 10 years down the road, when people ask who was the very first GFW World Heavyweight Champion, the answer will be the It Factor of Professional Wrestling, Bobby Roode. And in Las Vegas, in the Global Force Wrestling first ever World Heavyweight Championship Tournament, I will prove to the world why it pays to be rude.
One, I love the rhetorical, the self-asked rhetorical question of everyone's asking when this announcement was asked, that was announced, that no one was asking things, because they announced it with this video. Number two, why isn't he cutting these passionate promos for TNA?
Search me. I don't know. I really don't know.
That's my biggest problem with this whole thing. It's great that he's going to be there. It's great. I don't even know.
So is there now a deal between GFW and TNA where TNA talents are allowed to appear on GFW's...
It appears that way.
Because that tournament's going to be televised, or is going to be taped for TV, right?
It appears that way. Apparently, they have an agreement.
Okay, well, at least they have an agreement, so that's something. And I'm happy that Bobby's going for it, but yeah, that promo could have been about the TNA Championship.
By the way, congrats to EC3 for becoming TNA World Heavyweight Champion last night.
Yes, go Ethan. Well done. Well played.
It was a good match. Well done.
Very good match. But going back to Bobby, I don't know if it's the smartest thing for TNA and GFW to have that kind of relationship, because it's going to be something where these guys are going to go over to GFW. And they may like GFW better, and they may try to leave and jump ship and go to GFW. Jarrett's got a lot more shows on his plate right now. He's doing a lot more stuff than TNA is. And for someone like Bobby Roode, who's a name in the industry, who may not necessarily have a chance to go to WWE, although if Bobby's going to do it, Bobby needs to take a shot. If anybody could take a run at them, it's him. But, you know, Bobby may go over there. Bobby may like working for Chris better. Or, I'm sorry, may like working for Jarrett better.
It smells of TNA 2.0, and I hope it's not the case, but...
I hope it's really not the case, but like I said, there's a certain amount of talent pool out there that Jeff Jarrett has to draw on, because WWE is going out on the indies, and they're sucking up as many people as they can right now, and it's not to lock them up, it's to actually use them. Because they recognize that some of their talent are going to have to come off the indie circuit, and others are going to have to be homegrown. And there's an acceptance of that you see being embraced with guys like, you know, Kevin Steen and Sami Zayn and everyone else getting pushed. Because they recognize that these guys are the future of their industry, whether you like it or not. So, you know, it's very limited in terms of who Jeff Jarrett can get to work for him. And he is going to have to pull on ex-TNA talent, unfortunately. Almost like TNA had to pull on ex-WWE and ex-WCW when they were first starting off and throughout their entire operation. So it's almost like a trickle-down effect.
It is. It's just, I hope I'm wrong in my theories. I really do.
I hope I'm wrong in the theory that this is going to be TNA's last Slammiversary.
Because what we watched last Sunday was depressing in some manners. It's not saying the show was bad. It had its good moments. It had its bad moments. But just the tone of it. It felt like everyone was saying goodbye. James Storm felt like he was saying goodbye. Magnus felt like he was saying goodbye. Jeremy Boris was like, happy anniversary. Thank you, everybody. See you. Bye.
It's their first pay-per-view in almost a year. live pay-per-view. Let me preface us that, because they did have Bound for Glory, but that was pre-taped in Japan and then was re-aired in the States. So this is really your first live pay-per-view in a year. You're expecting them to really hit the gas. I understand that they had been working for 5 days prior and they were exhausted, I'm sure, but it's like, if this is the show where you're going to turn it up about three notches, you should really kind of do that. And a lot of people didn't. And it's not to bash what they did, because it was perfectly fine. It was decent. There was really only one match on that whole card where they slammed on the gas and went for it. And that was Storm and Magnus. But that had to be that way, because it's like everybody's expecting a fight. And if they don't go out there and try to kill each other, people are going to be pissed.
And that was the only story with that storyline. Really, the bromance story, it wasn't a story, really. They broke up. Yay! Sound the horn! Yay! But beyond that, James Storm and Magnus, because James Storm tried to kill Mickey James. She was all fine on Impact this week. Apparently, he brought the crazy back out of her. That's all Storm did. Yeah. I hope we're wrong. But the writing seems to be on the wall.
And that's unfortunate. I mean, I really hope that's not the case, but you hear more and more about financial troubles. You're seeing more and more people leave, and they're long-term employees that are leaving. And, yeah, I feel horrible saying this, but I almost just kind of wish they would pull the plug. And I really, really hate saying that as a wrestling fan, because I've been a fan of TNA for a long time. And I've enjoyed their product immensely, but it's just so hard to watch this happen to them, because there was a point where they were on a nationally rated channel. They were live on a nationally rated channel. They had 12 pay-per-views a year. They were running live events.
Not well-promoted live events, but live events nonetheless.
Yeah, not well-promoted live events, but live events. There was a point that TNA was actually in the black.
And they may be in the black now, but you're not making that, there's no income coming, there's no revenue for the boys, there's nothing.
If they're having pay issues, I promise you they are not in the black.
I was trying to be positive.
I understand that, but yeah, if they're having pay issues, they're not in the black. But there was a time that TNA was, and there was a time that TNA was this magnificent thing that had all the potential in the world, and everybody was super excited for it, and it kept growing and growing and growing, and then it hit the glass ceiling and it's just shrunk, and you've just seen them go from 12 pay-per-views a year to 4 to really 2. You've seen them go from touring live to doing one tour a year in Europe. You've seen them go from live TV to pre-taping 3 months of television a shot. You're seeing long-term employees leave, and I can't harp on that enough. Long-term employees, that should be a really, really, really big red flag. When you have people that have been there 12 years, and they're like, screw it, I'm done, that's a very, very, very clear indicator of the company and what's going on with it, and it's not in a good place right now. And you're almost like watching a very, very slow death.
Right.
Because we just watched it shrink and shrink and shrink and become more of a shadow of itself. And it's trying so hard to relive that former glory that it had, but I don't know if they can get there again. And this isn't a fault of the talent. This isn't a fault of the writing. This isn't a fault of the production people. This is more of a reflection on the people running the company, of the management of the company. And we've said that before, where it's not necessarily the talent, it's not necessarily the writing, it's the office. The office really kind of needs to change for that company to maybe turn a corner. Because it seems that the people that are running it right now are running it into the ground. And they have been for a really long time. Because it's almost like Jeff Jarrett got his hands out of it, and that's when things went to hell.
Can't disagree.
So, but anyway, okay. You know what? We're going to table it for right now, because I don't want to sit here and bash them and hark on them and knock them when they're down. I hope they can recover. All that being said, I hope they can recover. I hope they can pull out. And I hope they become super successful. I hope they prove everybody wrong. I want them to. I've wanted them to since I became a fan of them. I was one of the ones that I want to see them become a competitor of WWE. I want to see them get to that level. I just don't know if they can at this point. But if they can, do it. Absolutely do it.
So switching gears,
we're going to talk about something a little bit more fun now that we've probably bored everybody to tears and no one is listening.
Now, we're going to talk some Tough Enough.
Yes, that's right. It's episode 2 of Tough Enough.
Where it was Gator Night.
Oh my god, ZZ was in his element. It was adorable.
So the challenge this week was, one of the challenges was, they had to go into a swamp with alligators in there and swim and get belts off a boat and swim back. A couple of guys couldn't swim. One of the girls, the Jersey Devil, dropped her belt into the swamp and forgot, never went to get it. And got yelled at and she started to cry.
Yeah, so to back it up, so basically they take him out. The whole theme of this week was courage and having the courage to do something. Every week kind of has a theme. So this week was courage. So they take them out to the swamp. ZZ looks like he's about to do a cannonball.
Yeah.
You know, because it's like basically, okay, we want you to dive in these snake and an alligator infested waters and go over to the fan boat, get an NXT title, and come back with it. ZZ, I don't think I've seen him move that fast the entire show.
Nope.
Was off. He was like in the water. He was loving it. He was in his element. It really kind of wasn't fair because it's like you're sitting there like it's all about courage and, you know, he's sitting there watching the guy with the alligator. He's like, no, just you're doing it wrong. Give him. Just give it. I'm surprised he didn't just walk up and take it from him. But yeah, it's like it was a little unfair for the guy that wrestles gators. It's like, really? Really? You're questioning his courage? Dude popped a 9-foot alligator in the mouth twice on his audition video. Really? You're going to question his balls? And he just, okay.
Right.
His gumption, his courage, whatever you want to call it, you're going to question that? Okay. So anyway, so they all jump in the water, they all go for the titles, and well, Alex and Patrick and Malik? What is his name?
Oh, what is his name?
Crap.
I don't remember. I don't remember his name.
Live Googling on the show.
Nothing better than WWEToughEnough.com.
Mata. So sorry I got his name wrong. Mata. So Patrick and Mata and Alex all have trouble swimming.
Yes.
And Patrick actually manages to get back to land.
Yes.
So, and you know, they're trying to help him get through it. Mata and Alex end up stranded on the fan boat with the NXT titles, and they had to send a rescue ship back to get them. And it was to the point that Alex had to be saved by a lifeguard.
Yeah, yeah. And apparently he admitted that to on a digital extra and on Tough Talk that he couldn't swim.
Which, okay, you know, you can't swim. Completely respect that. Probably a good thing to admit to them.
What wasn't a good thing to admit to them? That you know nothing about the wrestling business.
Yeah, but we'll get there in a second. But so Little Miss Jersey Devil gets in, swims, and drops her title in the water. Doesn't go back to get it. I thought Billy was going to kick her off that show right there because he basically ripped her a brand new asshole. Because he's like, everybody else figured out a way to get their title back. You didn't.
So you want some factoids on that?
Yeah.
They got the belt out. The dude who went in to get the said belt dived down 12 feet to get it. He was scared to go down and get the belt.
I would be too.
It is currently in the possession of Paige, and she will determine what to do with it. She may give it to the trainers or whatever. But they got the belt back.
Oh, I'm sure they did get the belt back. Those things aren't exactly cheap.
No, but it's now going to be, she has to earn that belt. Because everyone else has them who, you know, got them. She has to earn her belt.
Well, as you should, you know?
Yeah. But that came off a Tough Talk. But continue.
So, okay. Interesting fact. So, yeah. So, basically, she dropped her belt. And it was 12 feet. But it's something that everybody else basically put them around their waist and wore them back. And that was the easiest way to get it back. And she didn't figure that out. And she didn't do that. And so, because of that, she lost her title. And Billy brought up the excellent point of, well, what the hell are we going to do with you if we put a title on you and you lose it?
Right.
They're out of title. And guess what? You're out a lot of money because you're probably going to have to pay to replace it. And those suckers are not cheap.
No, they're not.
So, you know, and that's a very valid point. But basically, Billy ripped her a new asshole right there and she started crying because she doesn't like being yelled at. Well, no one likes being yelled at. But it was, you know, that was your responsibility, was to go get the belt and bring it back. And you didn't do that. But yeah, after they got back, Alex is basically giving Patrick crap because he's like, well, I don't have to know anything about the wrestling business to work in it. And, you know, history doesn't matter and I'm not going to have to learn the history and blah, 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 blah. That is the completely wrong thing to say when your judges are Daniel Bryan Page and Hulk Hogan. I thought Hulk was just going to get up and slap him.
It seemed that way, didn't it?
Hulk was, like, hugely offended, as he should have been.
Yeah.
They all were offended. Because it's like, dude, really? This is your, you know, you're getting into this business. This is not just you signing with WWE. You're entering an entire industry, an entire business that is based on this history. And you at least have to understand it to know what you're doing. Because to say that history doesn't matter basically says that everybody that came before you doesn't matter.
Pretty much.
And that's not cool. Because everybody in that locker room came before you. And they're not going to take too kindly to that.
No, they weren't. No, they won't. And, well, the fans didn't agree because, well...
Alex got the old heave-ho.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Alex is gone, so we're down to the Precious Cinnamon Roll ZZ. He is safe for another week.
Yeah. Sarah Lee and Diana were the other two in the bottom two.
By the way, the best line of the night from that was from Paige, where she looked at Sarah Lee and said, if you were not named after a cheesecake, I would not know your name.
Something to that effect, yeah.
Yeah. It was like, thank you, Paige. Thank you.
Now, another line of the show.
Oh, God. We have to talk about Roman Reigns. Roman Reigns was on the show, y'all.
And well,
so was the Wyatt Love Child.
So was the Wyatt Love Child. Their buddies. And what was her name? Gabby?
Gabby.
She makes a comment when Roman Reigns is in there and basically says when he appeared, she got wet.
TMI. TMI.
And, well... Listen.
And to say that, his experience did show. I didn't do anything bad. He just did a little bit better, so we think that one.
Here we go.
Hi.
You know, last week we had the opportunity of meeting your husband.
Right.
Is he here tonight?
Right there.
Oh, man.
Sir. I'm going to go find him, actually.
No, listen, let's talk right here.
I want to talk to him. I need to really talk to him. So, your wife...
Oh, man.
Your wife, your beautiful, lovely wife, is, what's your name, by the way?
Tommy.
Your beautiful, lovely wife sees Roman. She goes, oh my God, this guy, what was the correct line? Because I don't want to get this wrong.
Got me wet. Close.
How did that make you feel when she got...
wet.
I guess you could... Thank you. Excited about that whole situation.
That's my wife. And she sleeps with me. She lives with me. I have to say, the guy's a good-looking
guy. And she also
wears
the trousers, apparently.
Oh. What'd you say?
Was that Paige? I only hear certain things. So, anyway, that's the way she feels. I mean, you know, she's with me.
That's good. So, if she wins this competition, you do realize that she will be on the road 200, 250 days a year. She will be surrounded by guys like Roman all the time.
I know that. We're committed to her success.
Right. Everyone give it up for him. Woo! Hi, Gabby.
Hi.
You wish you had that filter now, don't you? So, how did you feel about that whole situation with Roman? And I want you to stare right there when you're doing it.
Well, he knows it was a joke, because when I went to the hotel, I told him, listen, you know, a superstar just came into the performance, and I was like, oh, my God, I just got... saw him. But it was just a joke, not literally, you know what I mean?
So. I know exactly what you mean. I get it. We all get it. Daniel, how did you feel about that?
Okay.
I mean, I don't hear any girls. I don't hear any girls saying that about you.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Is that mean? Come on, it's a joke. Girls say it all the time about me.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's so lying right now.
Thank you, Paige.
It's not funny, Paige.
Well, it really is. Come on.
I guess
I didn't get. It was like, it makes me uncomfortable, quite frankly. But it made me wonder, like, okay, how many times have you been married now?
Three.
And this is a very difficult business to be on the road and away from your husband, and then you're fawning over Roman Reigns, and you've only been here a couple weeks. And it's
once again, there's two sides of me. I can be funny, I can be, you know, aggressive too, and that was my funny side.
How did you feel about your back pump?
Anyway, I love that she was being funny.
Funny, in quotation. Yeah, she was not being funny. She was, you hear the comment, she was dead serious.
I just love Daniel Bryan. It didn't get me, and they bleeped it.
Yeah. Bryan is like, I'm so uncomfortable right now, please don't ask me that.
Right?
Poor Bryan. But yeah, also other comment came from the Precious Cinnamon Rolls EC where he took a back bump and he's like, this is not going to work, I burned 6 calories. I gotta live. And also, ZZ ended up in the girls' bedroom permanently. So we're gonna see how that goes. Because yeah. Diana didn't want to stay in there anymore, so he's like, I'll switch with you.
Yeah.
Things are about to get really interesting. To say the least.
That's for damn sure.
So, alright, well, I say we get interesting and we take a break.
Yeah, let's go. No, wait, the music's starting. Waiting for us. No.
Can you tell that we're on so on point tonight? No.
I figured that anyway.
Anyway, so we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to be doing NXT. We're going to be doing SmackDown. You don't want to miss that. So you're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will be right back. I got more important things to do. Spend my time going on with you now. Do you feel a little bit empty inside after The Rack goes off the air on Thursday nights? Well, don't fret, because The Rack has a little something extra for you, in the form of The Rack Extra. Join us as we review the weekly happenings with your favorite Total Divas. From start to finish, we give you our reactions to all the relationship drama, the infighting, and all the trips to the plastic surgeon's office. Join us as we get all up in that Kool-Aid of the Total Divas with The Rack Extra. Weekly right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Trust me, it's simply dabomb.com.
This is Cigarette Butts and Bandanas.
Anyway, with that being said, you've been listening to Cigarette Butts and Bandanas.
Wait, hold on.
Why do you always get to end it, goddammit? You are the producer, goddammit. You're
Shut
not
up.
The host of the show. Will is the producer.
Shut up. For the trunk, Ralph Parks.
Why does Rob Parks do it? We waited forever for Rob to come back, and now you're not even going to let him have the outro?
Okay, let Rob.
Okay, come on. I dressed up for this show. God damn it. You know how hard it is to find a wife beater in my size? Four. William is McConnell. And for, unfortunately, the lone jobber, and for the lone producer who doesn't do really much.
Oh, wait,
I am your host with the most, the godfather of extreme, Big. I insulted myself real bad. Wow. Everyone was listening
that? Forget about it. Forget. Forget. Wow. God damn it, Jobber.
What'd I do?
I'm Bob. Your godfather tree for whoever the hell Big Daddy Ace was.
Ace!
Whether you're a badass, a godfather, or something in between, the answer is Cigarette Butts and Bandanas. Live. Midnight Eastern Time. Or as close as we can get. Only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Can't catch a WTR program live? Well, we've got three easy ways for you to listen whenever you want. First, listen to the Wild Talk Radio Network on iTunes. Just head over to iTunes and search for Wild Talk Radio Network and subscribe to our feed. Secondly, download the Stitcher Radio app and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. And finally, just visit the archive section right here at wildtalkradio.com. And you can download every single episode of all your favorite programs. Best of all, it's free. Keep up to date and spread the word to your friends on how you can be part of the Wild Talk Radio Network listening experience.
The evolution of online sports entertainment begins again on Sunday nights when you step into the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio. Covering all the latest in the WWE, TNA, and the indie scene. Plus, providing you with the most comprehensive coverage of every WWE and TNA pay-per-view. Join Wrestle Talk Radio every Sunday night, live only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
There is only one place to go for all the latest wrestling action figure reviews, and that's Wrestling Figure Wednesday, with new episodes every Wednesday and Friday. Wrestling Figure Wednesday provides you with some of the most intricate reviews of the latest wrestling action figures from both WWE and TNA. And if that's not enough, look out for some exclusive wrestling action figure reviews that you won't see anywhere else. The only place to find these wrestling action figure reviews is at youtube.com/MVG1211.
Hey gang, this is Tara, formerly known as Victoria from WWE. And I just want to say Matt Goldberg is a genius.
Make sure you check out Wrestling Figure Wednesdays today.
Looking for the latest in all things TNA wrestling? Then look no further than TNAsylum.com. TNA Asylum keeps you up to date on all the happenings in TNA wrestling, along with featured columns, full coverage of TNA-related events, and first look on the behind-the-scenes events of TNA that you can't find anywhere else. Log on right now to the haven for TNA fans, TNAsylum.com.
The greatest man that ever lived always liked a good rap. And you're listening to the greatest rap on Wild Talk Radio Network.
welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at Wrestling Figure Wednesdays. Go to YouTube.com/MBG1211 for all your stop-motion wrestling action figure needs. And now we are back to talk about Wednesday's exciting NXT and tonight's SmackDown.
We'll talk a little SmackDown, but first NXT. We had the Vaudevillains take on Dash and Dawson. This was your basic tag team match.
Dash finally got his wish.
No, wrong.
He found a partner. Oh, wait, no, that was Gable.
Gable. Wrong dude, wrong color.
Wrong one.
Basic match. Vaudevillains took control at the end, picked up the win. So they're back on a roll, are the Vaudevillains?
Yay! As they should be. They should be NXT Tag Team Champions.
Well, we'll have more about that here in a minute. Up next, we heard from Becky Lynch about, well, an injury.
I'm here at the WWE Performance Center with Becky Lynch. We are here to catch up. Now, Becky, there's been a lot of rumors about your recent injury. We're wondering if we can get an update.
So basically, Devin, at NXT TakeOver, I sprained my hip flexor, and I tried to hide it, and I tried to work through it, and I had a match a few weeks later, but that just aggravated it, so I have to take a few weeks off. But it's given me more motivation than ever, so believe me when I say that when I come back, I'm going for that NXT Women's Championship, and this time there's going to be a different ending. This is just the start of NXT.
Great, thank you so much. Good luck with your recovery.
Thanks a million.
It's a shame she's hurting.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. And looking where it is, that cannot feel good at all.
The hip flexor? Yeah, no.
Yeah, I just had to Google it because I wasn't entirely sure where it was or what it was. And looking at it, yeah, that's not fun.
No.
That must be incredibly uncomfortable. So, good luck, Becky. Feel better soon. We'll miss you.
Yeah,
and
hopefully.
Damn right, it's gonna be a different outcome when you go for the title again.
Yeah. Hopefully she's back. She only misses a few weeks of television because she is sorely missed.
Yes, she is.
Up next, we had Baron Corbin taking on Tucker Knight. Knight is a big dude. This was a quick match. Corbin wins with End of Days, and again, nothing new. Nothing new at all from Baron Corbin. It's the same old, you know what.
Yeah. I need more from Corbin at this point. I mean, it's like, yeah, he's cool and he's mysterious and all that kind of stuff, but I just need more.
Nothing's new in his matches. He doesn't do anything new. His character hasn't evolved. He's the same guy who's been beating up people for six months now, and now his matches are a minute, not 20 seconds.
Yeah.
And all it is because he's trying to be bad, so he slows them down so the fans can't count. Nothing really new.
Yeah, just nothing. You know, it's like I wish we could see more of him. I just don't know yet if we're going to.
So that's the sad part. We just don't know. Now, we then talk about, well, we hear from two tag teams arguing with William Regal.
The reason that I brought you all here was to tell you that next week you will be facing each other. And the winner of that match will be the new number one contenders for the NXT Tag Team Championship.
Well, I don't, but I gotta be honest, I don't think that we should have to beat them in order to be number one contenders.
All right,
we'll take it. Hey, we gotta go. Carmelo's
got a match. We got important things to do.
You know what I mean? I got plenty of time. Great. I got no time for this. Thanks, Regal.
I'm kind of with Enzo.
So,
but yay for a tournament.
So next week, we will probably see Enzo and Kaz and the Vaudevillains for the number one contendership.
Oh, shit. Who do I root for? I don't know.
It's a real tough question. We had an awesome Baylor video, the third part of the series. It's amazing. Tonight, half hour ago, they were showing the whole thing on the network. It's just an amazing, amazing documentary they did on him for a half hour. Amazing stuff.
Mm-hmm.
If you haven't seen it, go check it out. Words can't do it justice. It just explains who he is and how the demon's inside of him. It's all around really good stuff. Go watch it. It is awesome.
It's a really in-depth dive into who he is, and it's a good way to learn more about him and to build him up that way and to build him up as a fan favorite, because it makes him extremely relatable. And it's, you get a better understanding of why he does the face paint and why he does certain things that he does. And it just, it makes you want to root for him more.
Right. And we asked the question, and we'll answer this question here in a few minutes, so you got a couple more minutes. Tweet us at Wild Talk Radio or at Rack Radio Show with the final answer to the following question. Will Finn Balor win the NXT Championship this Saturday at Beast from the East? Because this is what it's all building to, and we'll talk more about it here after we're done with NXT. But yeah, it really wants you to get behind who Finn Balor is. We see Eva Marie worked out with Regal, worked out with another diva before the show in front of Regal and Sarah Del Rey. Regal seemed like, okay, she's got what she's learning.
And she's learning.
And we'll learn a lot more about Eva's training on Total Divas with the Rack Extra starting next week.
Yes, Total Divas is coming back, and there's going to be drama.
I saw the first 7 minutes. It's going to be very, very interesting, and we're going to have the Rack Extra Total Divas. I guess if all goes right, it'll be available all next Wednesday.
Yes.
If all goes to plan. RackRadioShow.com. Next match, Emma versus Carmella. Solid matchup with the girls. They updated Emma's music again. It starts out with the bubbly, then goes into the evil side of Emma, but they've mixed it a little bit better this time. It works out good. Emma kicked Carmella's fur out of the ring. They went back and forth early. Carmella had a nice head scissors out of the corner. Emma was in control for a while with a nice leg scissors. Carmella made her comeback, but she could punch a little harder. Emma caught her, locked in the Emma lock for the win. Your winner, Emma. Solid match.
Very solid match, yeah.
As I read my note, I love how I wrote this, and this is accurate. Bull Dempsey fights with a vending machine.
Poor Bull Dempsey.
Keep going.
No, play it and then I'll make my comment.
I give it to you. My dollar's not good enough. Bull, what are you doing, man? Calm down.
Don't tell me to calm down.
Hey, what you call
Superman?
Bull, hey.
I was trying to get the pistachio.
Huh? Get a grip of yourself, man. What's the matter with you? Now you need to sort yourself out, because otherwise, the next time we talk, you're not going to like the outcome.
So what the audio doesn't give you the visual of, Bull Dempsey has chocolate on his face, and William Regal takes his finger, puts it on his chin, takes some of it off, smells it, licks it, and then starts going off on it.
Okay, one, poor Bull Dempsey, and I never thought I would ever say that in my life. The man just wants cookies. Just give the man a cookie, or Doritos, or whatever the hell it is.
Pistachios.
Second, I have a real problem with this. Because it's like, okay, he's not the wrestler norm, and they've done a really good job with guys who are built like Bull. Because you see guys like Bray Wyatt, you see guys like Kevin Owens, and they're not made fun of for their weight. Their weight isn't mentioned. And I feel like the fact that they're kind of doing a body-shaming storyline, and they're making fun of Bull because he's out of shape or whatever, that this is really kind of wrong. And it's like, okay, so the dude's different. So the dude looks like he's out of shape. The dude should still be able to go, and he should be treated like everybody else that's come through that's built similarly. I just think it's a kind of a bad story and a bad gimmick all the way around for him, and I get they're trying to find something for him that fits, but this isn't it. And I don't know if he was eating a bag of Doritos and they decided, hey, let's run with it or what, but I really don't like this storyline, because it feels like, you know, oh, hey, it's like they're body shaming him, and that's not right.
I agree.
And just give Bull Dempsey the cookie.
Tyler Breeze took on Dillinger. Dillinger was aggressive early, even mocked Breeze with the photo thing. Breeze made his comeback, nice hurricanrana, ducked the clothesline, hit the beauty shot for the win. Simple, effective, Tyler Breeze wins.
Go Tyler!
We then heard from, well, the women of NXT.
Look at that. What are you guys doing? I'm supposed to interview Sasha.
Oh, Devin!
Excuse me. Oh, what are you two doing in my locker room?
Oh, just hanging out, maybe thinking about trying that on. I mean,
Yeah, Sasha, since we are taking over the NXT division, now we're after you and that championship.
Oh, you two are after me, huh? Mm-hmm. I'm the boss of this division. Really? I run this place. So if you two want to go, then I'll take you both on.
She's funny.
I'm laughing, huh?
She's funny. Emma? Does that sound like a challenge to you? Because it does to me. What do you say?
Yeah, it sounds like a challenge.
I think so.
The only thing is that there's two of us and just you. So you might need a partner or something.
I mean, really, though, who's going to be her partner? Nobody even likes her because she's been such a little...
Excuse me. I'll find a partner.
Oh, yeah.
This is going to be fun. Such a great tag team match.
So who will Sasha Banks find as a partner?
I really don't like those two. Mm-hmm. Actually, that's not true. I really don't like Dana Brooke.
Yeah, I know.
I just really genuinely despise her on a personal level. And I know she's done nothing to me. And this goes beyond wrestling. I'm sure she's a lovely person. I just can't stand the side of her. I really, really can't. I really wish they would stop pushing her. Because she does nothing for me. It's like she's a cross with Fran Drescher meets Beth Phoenix, and it's just awful.
Yeah, I can see that. But apparently everyone's been out on Twitter going, I'll be your partner, I'll be your partner, I'll be your partner. Jason Jordan wants to be her partner. Lance Storm will be her partner.
Didn't Big E volunteer?
I think Big E volunteered. A lot of people have volunteered to be her partner. So who will it be? That's the big question. Who will it be?
I guess we'll have to see.
We'll have to see in the next week. Then we had our main event. Owens and Rhino taking on Baylor and Joe. Good match. Really good. Really good stuff. But it's these four people. What do you expect? In the end... It looked like we were going to see a Joe do a muscle buster and then Baylor do the double stomp, but Rhino broke it up. Rhino gored Owens by mistake, corner drop kick, double stomp, three count. Baylor pins Owens. Owens' first time pinned in NXT.
Yep, very, very, very first time.
Which begs the question, and it's our question tonight: will Finn Baylor become NXT champion at Beast from the East at 5:30 a.m. Eastern this Saturday morning. Majority of the people who have commented and tweeted and Facebooked and all that fun stuff say yes. What do you think?
It makes sense to put the title on Balor at Beast in the East just because you get it off of Owens and Owens can go on a battleground and face Cena for the U.S. Championship, and that makes that match much more interesting because now the NXT title is not involved and Owens is out to prove something because he got beaten by Balor. And the way you can kind of resolve that whole situation of Owens losing to Balor is Owens wins a bigger prize in the U.S. Championship and sort of forgets about the NXT title and just moves on.
Right.
Because he's always got that rematch clause that he can cash in whenever he wants. So if he wants to go back in NXT and he wants to cash it in, he can, but he doesn't really need to. But that sort of can fuel his aggression against John Cena at Battleground to go for the title. I don't see why they would keep it on Owens past Saturday. Unless he's going to drop it at the NXT TakeOver event in August. Which, if they're going to hold it on him that long, that just doesn't seem necessary. You have the perfect opportunity to take it off of him here and fully bring him up to the main roster.
Yeah, I'm with you. The only thing is, Owens lost tonight, or yesterday, on NXT. And if the plan if he's not getting the U.S. title, then I wouldn't take the title off of him. If he's getting the U.S. title, then go all for it. They're building this all around him dropping the belt. This is all about Finn Balor winning it in Japan. It's the perfect story. I just hope they go there.
I hope they go there with it. It makes sense to go there with it because this is Balor's second or third shot at the title.
Second.
And he got it right out of the gate when he first showed up, and now he's getting another shot at it. And really, he shouldn't get another after this for a while. So like I said, it makes sense to me logically to go ahead and put the NXT title on him, because if you need to, you can have Owens chase, you can have everybody else chase. Balor's not on his way up for a while, so he can hold it for as long as they need him to. And Owens is getting the call up. That's apparent. He's on the main roster. They need to transition him out of NXT. They've already done, the only factor in this is Joe and how far they're going to take Owens versus Joe, or if that was it. What we got at last week or week before last was it.
We'll have to see. So yeah, I'm going to say...
But yeah, sorry, what about you?
I'm agree. I'm just going to say we're going to see a new NXT champion at 5:30 in the morning on the WWE Network. Thank God for On Demand.
Right? Because, oh my gosh, 5:30 in the morning, that's just a little extreme. Just a little bit.
So anyone on different time zones can't complain. It's on at 5:30, so if you live in elsewhere... Perfect time. Prime time for you guys.
Yep.
Very early in the morning for us. So there you go. That was our question of the night. Throwback question of the night.
Yes, Throwback Thursday question of the night. So now we're going to talk a little bit about SmackDown. There wasn't a lot that happened on this show. Basically, Seth is a jerk. Dean has an angry. Bray Wyatt is still in love with Dean Ambrose. To the point that we had a mounting.
We did. No foreplay, just a mounting.
Yeah.
And they dropped the hot from Adam Rose.
Oh, they did?
They didn't air that part. He started talking midway, it seemed like. They cut out the hot part of who Adam Rose is becoming.
Thank God. Because, yeah, that was a little ridiculous.
That was pretty much SmackDown in a nutshell.
Yeah, we did have a decent match between Roman and Seth to close out the show. And Dean Ambrose and his stick were terrorizing everybody all night long. And he came out, beat up Joey Mercury with his stick to kind of close out the show, and Roman and Dean celebrated at the end. I was a little disappointed that Roman was not selling the beating more than he should have been.
Yeah, I know.
He's selling a little bit, but not a lot. And it was like, dude, you got your ass handed to you. You should, it's like anybody else should be hurting right now, and he may have been, but it's like, would have liked to seen him hurting a little bit more. Just just my thought on that.
I agree.
To not only sell the Authority, but also sell Bray Wyatt.
Yeah. Chase on Twitter goes, no, Finn Balor will not win.
Okay.
So, we see your tweets. Just pointing that out. Anyway, so there you go.
There you go. So, all right, well, speaking of tweets, I say we take our second and final break of the evening, and when we come back, we'll have Tweet of the Week. We are going to finish out Ask the Rack, because we have 20 questions, so... Come play 20 questions with us. You don't want to miss it. So you're listening to The Rack right here on wildtalkradio.com, and we will be right back.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
As my client Brock Lesnar said, Suplex City, bitch.
From the big returns.
So this is what it feels like to kick off Monday Night Raw.
To the shocking moment.
You will get your rematch. Put that man down. Your actions have consequences. And you know what? You're out of here. You're suspended. You know what? You're suspended indefinitely. Get out of my building now. Now get out.
And the moments that leave you speechless.
Snoop Mania, huh? Snoop Mania? Nah, Snoop Dizzle. It's called Axel Mania. And it's not a West Coast thing. It's not an East Coast thing. It's a worldwide thing. And I'm not going to sit back and listen to you talk about Snoop Mania when Axel Mania is running wild in Los Angeles! Bow, wow, wow, yippee-yo, yippee-yay. Axel Mania is here to stay.
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Out and about when your favorite WTR program is on the air. Don't worry, we've got you covered. You can listen to WTR on the go with TuneIn Radio. Just download the TuneIn Radio app for your Android or iPhone, iPad or tablet, and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. Best of all, it's free. What are you waiting for? Download the TuneIn Radio app today. Tune in to WTR, wherever you are.
This is Kane from WWE, and you're listening to The Rack on Wild Talk Radio.
Yeah, and I've set up and tore down this stage with my own two hands. We've traveled this land, packed tight in minivans, and all this for the fans, girls, money, and fame. I played their game, and had to scream my name. I will show no shame, I live and die for this. And if I come off strong, bitch, you on this.
Are you scared?
Devil without a cause, and I'm back with the beaver hats and Ben Davis slacks. 30 pack of stroll, 30 pack of hoe. No Rogaine in the propane flow. The chosen one, I'm the living proof. With the gift of gab from the city of truth. I jab and stab and knock critics back.
And welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at Wrestling Figure Wednesdays. Go to YouTube.com/MBG1211 for all your stop-motion wrestling action figure needs. And all I have to ask with one question with American Badass, and that is, where is Taker? Because you know it's American Badass. Where's Biker Taker? Where is he? Kept looking for him. Didn't see him.
Very, very disappointed that you can't find him.
For a second, I thought we had booked The Undertaker, and I was so excited.
Hi, I'm Mark Calloway.
And there it is. And there's Taker on the rack for you. No. So anyway, Tweet of the Week.
Well, I used to be the kind of person spending time on MySpace until the spammers ended up taking over my place, and I was so bitter. Until I found Twitter, ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting. No more, no more. It cannot wait, I'm sure.
Dolph Ziggler, or actually I should preface this, Lana, going to WWE Reading tonight to hang out with heel Ziggler should be fun. Hooters after the show, ha ha. To which Ziggler replies, feels like an Arby's night, babe. ZZ has a Twitter. ZZ has figured out how to use Twitter, and it is a blessing.
It's what, at ToughEnoughZZ?
It's at ToughZZ.
ToughZZ, okay.
It's kind of amazing. It's just amazing. So there's a picture of ZZ standing next to an emu. I'm kind of wondering if this is the first time he's ever seen one. Because he goes, this guy here is an emu! Big eye fellow, but he seemed just as interested in me as I was in him. We're going to get more from ZZ, because it's kind of awesome. Because
he is kind of awesome.
Dolph Ziggler. Might surprise my best gal with a ring. So we can finally practice. Haha, that's one hell of a box. ZZ. And this is another quote from the show where it was just like, smooth, dude, real smooth. Ladies are like pie. When they are hot, they can burn you, but when they cool down, they can be oh so sweet. The child is 18. Just saying. Nobody should be that smooth at 18. He's going to be trouble.
Trouble, 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 trouble?
Yes. He's waited all his life. So somebody asked, there was an ask the heel, so Dolph, somebody asks, Dolph, bleh, if I could talk. What's your next move in WWE? To which he replies, drop kicks, probably.
Nice.
Somebody else asks, what is the meaning of life? Begging people to follow you / block you on social media sites, apparently. A third person asks, can I have your babies? To which Dolph replies, sure, I don't want them, ungrateful little jerks. And finally, Jimmy John's Mayo Dreams Come True.
There you
and
go.
That's all I got.
ProWrestling.net, WWE Fantasy Camp should include a tea party with Bray Wyatt option. You would sign up for that.
It's not Bray Wyatt, it's Mrs. Nesbitt. Get it right. He had the hat.
He did.
All he needs is the apron, which we know he owns one. And yeah. He can be a demented version of Mrs. Nesbitt.
It's kind of scary. Tyler Morrison, hashtag Screech's prison diary. 4 months in the joint isn't too bad. Bank was probably going to take my house anyway. Not SportsCenter. We're 11 weeks from. Cutler is picked off again. The Browns trailed 42-3, and Sam Bradford out 8 to 10 weeks with a paper cut. Hopefully that's not the case. SoCal Val Iron Man match? Good. Brown Panties match? Better.
Yeah, we need to talk about that real quick.
Hold on, let me finish the tweet.
Okay.
But don't take it from me. I've lost every Brown Panties match I've ever been in. Hashtag Slammiversary.
Yeah, okay, so we need to talk about that for a second because Austin Aries got to name the stip in his match if he won. And so he called for a bra and panties match, and I actually stood up. I'm like, yes, do it! I want to see Bobby Roode and bra and panties. I want to see this.
She did say that.
I was super excited for like 5 seconds, and then they're like, no, just kidding. It's like, oh, screw you guys.
Yeah. 3-man booth. Look, Daddy, I've got my wigs back. The last thing Bray Wyatt needs is a Red Bull. Hashtag Raw.
I'm pretty sure he had like 5.
Yeah. Keep it 5-star. Bo Dallas is just so happy to have black friends. Hashtag 8-man tag. Hashtag Raw. WWE creative-ish. Seducer, accuser, destroyer. Why is Bray Wyatt wearing a Sable t-shirt? Keep it 5-star. Bray Wyatt was jealous that Bo Dallas got to meet The Rock, so he's taking it out on The Rock's cousin, Roman.
Right.
Kaden Lindendahl. Lana and Heel Ziggler made it public, but is it Facebook official? Good to know. Austin Aries. And thanks to at TSA for the thorough pat-down. Had the Earl Hebner or Baby Hebner seen it, it would have been an automatic DQ for a low blow. Ouch. So Beulah took over Tommy Dreamer's Twitter. She was asked a question. How many packs of Oreos does Tommy shred? We hide food and I hear him at night. She was also asked, what's been more stressful, raising twins or raising the innovator of violence? Tommy by a landslide. She was asked, who's the best person you've been in the ring with? Tommy Dreamer, if I don't say that, pile driver before bed. And now we're going to get some weird things. This was a hashtag that was floating around, okay? Hashtag wrestling pickup lines. We go with, hey baby, I'm Kevin Nash. You want to? Never mind, quad's gone again.
Oops.
I'm Jim Ross, and I'm going to ride you like a government mule. Hey babe, can we try the TNA? Well, basically, I just keep going down until there's nothing left.
Ouch.
Hey girl, are you the Miz? Because someone told me you suck balls.
Ooh. Damn!
After 3 seconds, keep going. I'm afraid I've got some bad news. We should be TNA. There won't be much left at the end.
Oh, shit.
You'll be screaming yes more than Daniel Bryan before I'm done with you. This is hashtag Canada Day Drake Raps from Keep It 5-Star. I used to see you all the time. Then you became a heartbreaker. Now I see you once a year, like you're the Undertaker. Bam! So true. Someone tweeted Ethan Carter, how's Dirk Bateman doing? He replied, he died in a fireworks factory explosion. Glad you've been following the last 2 years of tweets. And not Sports Center report. Dwayne Wade decided to stay in Miami after LeBron told him all he'd do in Cleveland is get him coffee and pick up his dry cleaning. And that's Tweet of the Week. Yeah, when I saw those pickup lines, it was like, scores. We got some comedy up in here.
Yay comedy.
Yeah, exactly. So, now we play Ask the Rack. We actually have 21 questions.
21?
Yeah, I miscounted.
Oh.
Because it wasn't actually numbered all the way down. So now it's actually numbered. It went, oh, 21.
Oh.
Yeah. All right, so we'll go in order. Ready? Number one, what is more scary, Bray Wyatt in Bo's gear without beard or Bo and Bray's gear with beard? Okay, now, we've done this, thanks to WW2K15. It's Bray Wyatt in Bo's gear.
Oh, wait, no, it's Bray sans beard, right?
No, Bray Wyatt in Bo's gear without beard or Bo in Bray's gear with beard. Oh, So it's
just basically Husky Harris.
It's Husky Harris. It's still
Bo Dallas. Bo Dallas all the fucking way.
I say it's Bray Wyatt in Bo's gear.
Dude, Husky wasn't that scary looking. It's just Husky in white.
That's true. Because I'm thinking with the beard. I keep thinking the picture I created before. Yeah, you're right. Bo with a beard.
Yeah, it's Bo with a beard, because Bo would look way creepy with Bray's beard.
Yeah. Who would you rather have the current stable of quarterbacks on the Eagles or Tony Romo as your starter? The current stable of Eagles quarterbacks.
Matt Ryan.
Nice try there, but I'm not going to choose Tony Romo. Tony Romo is an aging quarterback. Why would you pick an aging quarterback to be the future as your team? I'm just pointing. That's a fact. If you could only watch one show on TV from now on, no other channel would work for you. What would that one show be?
Including what? Wrestling or excluding wrestling?
Waiting to find out the answer. I think that was a King Ken's question. If you could only watch one show on TV from now on, no other channel would work for you. So are we stuck on a channel? Or are we stuck for just one TV show on a loop? No wrestling. But is it one channel? Like, if it's like ESPN, I'd stick to ESPN. She would stick to HGTV.
Yeah, HGTV. If wrestling's not included, HGTV.
I would stick with ESPN. Then,
like, my TV goes from USA, HGTV.
To sci-fi.
Sci-fi.
E.
E coming up, Universal HD for Saturday nights, and then back to HGTV.
He says one.
I watch like five channels.
He says one show.
One show? Property Brothers.
Property Brothers is a good answer. Good answer, good answer, good answer, good answer. Playing Family Feud.
I can't eat.
Just got me obsessed with that show now and flip and flop. I would say like SportsCenter. At least that would be interesting because it would change all the time. SportsCenter, there you go. Or Big Bang Theory, I can watch that all the time. You have just become the managing partner of TNA, and your first order of business is to make blank the face of your company. Ethan Carter III, the face of my company.
Yep, Carter.
Or Rockstar Spud, but he's too small.
I would go with Carter. I like Spud. I just don't think he's to me, he's not believable as the face of the company, because, you know, it's like he's got to have the title, he's got to do certain things, and while he's awesome and he's amazing, you put the title on him and everybody's gonna be like, really? Really? Seriously? That's your champion? That's your heavyweight champion? Are you high?
Right.
You know, I can see him as an ex-champion.
He's a two-time ex-champion.
I don't have a problem with that. I can see him as a tag team champion. I can see him as every other champion they have, including knockouts, except the heavyweight champion. So, yeah, Carter would be my pick, just based on their roster right now.
What is the worst match you can remember seeing? Something with the Great Khali and Viscera and Kane. It's on ECW. I think there was one more person in that match. It's like a four-way. Don't remember the fourth person. Four big men in one match. It was awful. I think we riffed at one point. It's the worst match I can remember seeing. There's probably been others, but that's the one that came to mind.
Honestly, I can't think of any. Beyond anything involving Ryback, Big Show, and Mark Henry, and I really can't think of any.
That was the fourth man. Mark Henry. It was Mark Henry, Great Khali, Kane, and Viscera in a four-way battle royal. It was awful. Awful. It's easy to say the Punjabi prison match.
Okay, yeah. Punjabi prison match. Bless Taker for doing that.
That was awful.
It was horrible.
If you had to give yourself a boxing / wrestling style nickname or ring name, what would it be?
Oh, hell.
I already have it. So rockin'.
Really?
Yeah, it's easy. It's a ring name. It is a ring name.
Hey, you know what? Psych Ward.
There you go.
I've had that since high school. It fits.
PsychWordsDesigns.com.
PsychWordsDesigns.com.
Ding! Kinkins? No. Corner. What person would you like to see added to Total Divas, and who would you have them replace? That's part one of the question, so we'll go there. What person would you like to see added to Total Divas, and who would you have them replace? I would like to see Renee Young on the show. She'd be cool. I would add her and Summer Rae together, because I think that would be entertaining. I think Lana would be interesting.
Yeah, my vote's Lana, because Lana and Paige, I would put Lana on in place of Eva, honestly.
I would replace anyone with Alicia Fox. It's a simple answer. Like Alicia, but I don't care.
I like like Alicia. I think she adds a little something to the show. I think Eva, I'd have to see this season to know, but I think Eva's kind of fading into the background.
Not as much as you think this time around.
But we'll see how it goes. But yeah, it's I would replace either Eva or Alicia at this point because they haven't added much.
No. Part two of this long ass question: which one of the cast would you most like to be on a road trip with? Natty would be too boring, though her driving skills would be an adventure.
Naomi.
Naomi would be fun.
Naomi and her husband. Yeah, that would be a fun car ride.
I would go with the Bellas and the Brian, Bree and Brian. Bree and Brian would be interesting.
I don't know if I could be in the car with Bree for a while.
Oh, I know the answer. It's simple. Paige.
Paige would be fun. Paige would be a lot of fun.
It was like, you know, when you think of Total Divas, you don't automatically think Paige. But then it's like, wait, I thought Bree, and then it's like, no, Paige.
I want to go drinking with Paige.
And whom would you avoid being locked in a room with?
Nikki Bella. I would take her face off.
Or Alicia.
I could probably get along with Alicia. Nikki and I have such different personalities, though, that it's like we wouldn't get along.
Aside from attending any WrestleMania, what is your favorite wrestling memory you've experienced in person?
Favorite wrestling memory is when a friend of mine flew down and we went to Armageddon when it was here in Atlanta. And we were on the floor. And this is kind of a two-parter. We were on the floor, and one, John Cena stole my water bottle.
There's proof of it.
It's actually on the pay-per-view. I made it on TV. And two, we screamed so loud that The Undertaker looked at us and thought we were insane.
For me, it was my favorite one was the SmackDown taping a long-ass time ago. And it was right before the draft. Right after they did the draft, and it was the SmackDown before they all broke up and went their ways. And it was the Hogan, The Rock, and Kane teamed up. That was one of the better shows I've ever been to. Then the other, a two-parter would be, I have a picture somewhere, and I keep trying to find it, of Shawn Michaels' armpit. Because my dad, they were very young, and my dad went down and took pictures of the wrestlers. And he got this picture of Shawn Michaels' armpit. One of the strangest memories I remember, but I still remember. And favorite wrestling memory in general. That's too hard, dude.
In general?
I have too many wrestling memories. Here's the one that always sticks out. Iron Man match, Shawn Michaels, Bret Hart, me and my good friend. We were on opposite sides, so for 60 minutes, we were on opposite sides. I was voting for Shawn, he was voting for Bret. And it was like, Shawn's going to win. No, Bret's going to win. It was trash talking all week and all that fun stuff. That's one.
It's a wrestling memory, or it's wrestling related, but it's not actually at a show. I can give one.
That's what he wants.
Well, he's getting two. I'm doing two. Because it's my show, goddammit. One is when I met The Undertaker in person. I drove up to Chattanooga because he was doing signings at World of Wheels, and he wasn't coming here, but he was going to be like in Chattanooga, and so I drove up there. It was the first time I had ever driven anywhere by myself. I was like 18 when I did it. That's how long ago this was. Because I'm old. And so...
You're not old. Anyway, continue.
So, I drove up there and met him. It was just a really cool experience, and I remember being on the phone, and my friend was going off about his wife, and I'm like, shut up, he's looking at me, shut up, I think he can hear you, shut up. And then he liked my artwork, because I actually took the very first piece I'd ever made in Photoshop and had him sign it. And so I still have that somewhere. It's in a storage unit, I think. No, is it here? I think when I went and got my portfolios, I got it, but... Anyway, it's here in Atlanta somewhere. So that's one of my favorite memories is going to meet The Undertaker, because that was so cool, because he's a massive human being. And running into him, because the crowd pushed me into him. It's like, and yes, y'all, he is solid. Just so everybody is aware of that. It's like hitting a brick wall. And I guess favorite just wrestling show related, one is going to Mania, obviously. That was huge. It was amazing. And I would say actually being at the Royal Rumble when Triple H came back, because the roof blew off that place. But I also remember when Taker came out and he revved that bike up, and like you could hear the bike over the crowd, and it was just really cool. So you get three.
There you go. You are the game designed for WWE 2K16. What special game / story mode would you include? Already had Attitude, WrestleMania Era, NXT Through the Ranks. So if we're the game designers, not designed, designers, I would do stuff, if they have the ability, go past the Attitude Era. Go towards the end of the Attitude Era. Do the stuff with Triple H and The Rock. Do stuff with Triple H and Mick Foley. Do stuff with the tag teams, the Hardys, Edge and Christian, the Dudley Boys. Do that era. Right before, you know who became a thing and really took the main event scene, which is why they sort of avoid all of it. Person we shall not name. That Canadian dude. And I would do that era. I would do different things from 2000 and 2001 and just go from there. I wouldn't go back to doing stuff with Austin, and I know they're doing some stuff with him for the next game, but I would go through that era and start from there if I had to choose an era type thing for it.
I would expand out the female options. I would give the women all the same options that the men have. I would love to see more interaction between the divas and the male roster. I would love to be able to take an NXT diva all the way to the championship at WrestleMania. I think that would be really, really cool. And the fact that the girls can't do that sucks. On a storyline standpoint, and I've talked about this before, I've always wondered like how they would do a what-if storyline where basically you create an alternate universe and say those pivotal moments in the Attitude Era never happened. You know, what would have happened? What would have happened if instead of WWE buying WCW, WCW bought WWE? And you can almost create a whole alternate universe and a whole alternate storyline based on those pivotal events not happening and write a whole new script if you wanted. And I think that could be something that's really interesting. I know it's really far-fetched and it's really out there and it's crazy, but it's just something, it's like, it's different. You know, it's kind of those what-if moments. Or what if The Undertaker had, you know, taken over the WWE in 99 kind of thing. What would the company be like? Basically, what if The Undertaker became Triple H?
Yeah.
So just that kind of stuff.
I would also build it out to have a... I know they have a... This year they had a semi-career mode. You went from NXT to main event to some superstars. Superstars to main event to SmackDown and Raw. I would do it more where... It's like in the old game. You do house shows and you do all this stuff and you work your way. You do a whole road schedule, not just TV. You do a whole... Build your career from start to finish. We're taking an assistant guy and go on the road with him.
So I would also do a wrestling wedding.
That too.
I want my wedding, goddammit.
On your first day ruling the world, what would your first edict be?
Somebody bring me Bray Wyatt?
No, I don't think that. I guess if you were ruling the world, then I would have to bring you Bray Wyatt, wouldn't I?
Somebody would, if he wasn't already there.
Alright, we'll go with that.
What about you?
I don't know. I really don't know. I don't have a good answer for it. So we'll move on. Since your partners are currently on the injury list, what do you see happening with Luke Harper and Cesaro in the near future?
Put them in a feud?
Team them up. Cesaro and Harper as a team? Could work.
Weirdest team.
It'd be weird, but God, it would be dominating as all hell.
It would be. I'd actually rather see the feud than the team.
Feud would be good.
I wouldn't mind seeing Stardust and Luke Harper hook back up.
Or do the easy one, give Harper to Bray.
Give Harper to Bray, yeah. I can see that. I don't know if you're going to give Harper to Bray, though. I'd rather see as a feud or as a team.
As a team. You just have them align again.
Yeah, that I'm okay with. If you're going to have Harper and Bray feud, I'd rather Eric be there.
Yeah.
Just so that way it's Bray kind of against Luke and Eric. But I'm down for Luke kind of realigning himself with Bray for right now, but I don't think that's going to happen.
No, I don't think so.
But, you know, why not put Luke back in the Intercontinental title picture? Why not give him a run at the title?
God, Luke and Ryback.
Luke and Ryback wouldn't be awful because Luke could make him look fairly good.
Yeah, no.
But they could have a really rough physical match.
They could.
That would actually be pretty decent.
Yeah. With Ring of Honor, TNA, and Lucha Underground competing for viewers, do you think the current wrestling market is oversaturated, or are we at the start of another growth period in the industry? I wouldn't say it's oversaturated. It's close. But I don't think it's oversaturated because Lucha Underground is completely different than Ring of Honor and TNA. I'm not going to go off on ROH because I went off on that Facebook. I don't know if we're in a growth period because there's not enough talent for a growth period, but there's enough, best way to put it, there's enough variety out there. If you're not a fan of one, you can be a fan of another. And there's an ability to see different programming elsewhere. That makes sense?
That makes sense. Yeah, I would agree that we're not, it's not an oversaturation, but it's very close to oversaturation because there's a lot of wrestling that's out on the market right now. And because WWE has 5 hours of television.
Plus Tough Enough, plus Total Divas.
Yeah, plus Tough Enough, plus Total Divas. You have TNA at 2 hours. You have ROH on two channels. And you have Lucha Underground. You also have New Japan that's out there. As well as a bunch of indie on local cable access. It's very close to oversaturation. Options are always good. There's nothing wrong with options. The fact that there isn't a monopoly on wrestling anymore is awesome. Because for a long time, WWE had the stranglehold on the market. When WCW died, there was nobody else around, and WWE ruled the landscape, so now you have people that are coming in and giving you other options to be able to go and watch stuff, so that's great. As far in terms of the industry growing, it's grown a little bit because you've seen those people come in, but it's sort of come to a standstill. It's like these indie companies will get so far, and then they kind of stall out. You're seeing that right now with TNA. You've kind of seen that a little bit with ROH, but they're kind of growing again a little bit because of Sinclair, where it's just really hard to get investors and backers. Lucha Underground, as far as I know, has not been renewed.
Yet.
Yet. Hopefully it will be. Mm-hmm. And New Japan is still going strong, as far as I've heard.
And they have a big old thing coming up in July where it's like 18, 19 days, 17 days, something like that. Of straight up their tournament. I can't remember what it's called off the top of my head.
Yeah.
But it's a lot of wrestling and a lot in 17 days. To go off that question, what do you guys think about the Wednesday Night Wars with NXT, Lucha Underground, ROH, and TNA in the United States? It's a lot of TV, a lot of programming.
Yeah, it's a lot to watch. It's a lot to follow. If you follow everything, God bless you because you're better at it than I am. I can't keep up with all of it.
We watch NXT because we do it for the show. I try to catch up, stay with TNA. ROH may lose me. We'll see. I'm giving it a shot. Super kicks!
I've checked out Lucha Underground. I think it's pretty cool. I've checked out New Japan. It's pretty cool. I actually had a moment where I was like, is that Alex Shelley? I was like, holy crap, that is Alex Shelley. Cool.
Who's apparently working for Ring of Honor and Global Force Wrestling in the next few weeks.
Shocker.
I know.
And pretty much any ex-TNA person that I hear working for TNA or working for Global Force, I'm like, yeah, there's a shocker. Jeff's pulling out the phone book. He's looking people up. But it's a lot to keep up with, especially for WWE. You know, it's just they have 5 hours on their own, plus Total Divas, plus Tough Enough, which we cover. So that's 7 hours of television right there. That we kind of keep track of, and then it's like you throw NXT on top of it, so that's 8, so it's really working full-time, it's really difficult to keep track of everything, because you get home from work, and it's like, wrestling's on, yay, oh, wrestling's on, and it's on every night, and it's just like, sometimes it's just really hard.
Will WWE be hurt if Dolph Ziggler leaves in September?
Well, he's not.
Thankfully.
Thankfully, but the answer to that question, they would feel it a little bit just because he's a really good hand to have in the ring. But ultimately, no. I don't think they would have been hurt if he had left.
No, I don't think so.
They would have brought somebody up from NXT to fill that spot.
What do you think about certain WWE male and female talents not being utilized right on the main roster? It's wrestling.
Everybody has an opinion on who should be utilized or in how they should be utilized. And there are some people who are genuinely not being utilized right, but at the same time, they may not know how to do that. Because it's like certain people, they're not connecting with the fans, they're trying to do everything they can to get them to connect with the fans, and it's just not working. And they may be at a loss of what to do with that person, so they try everything in their brother to get that person over before they give up on them. And sometimes they do just give up on them. But it's, as you know, when you're dealing with a roster really as large as they have, And you're trying to find stuff for everybody that works, because not everybody comes up with their own stuff.
Right.
So you're trying to find things that work for people, and they not may not be able to pull it off. And they're just struggling with it, so it's like, okay, well, you know, for Adam Rose. Because Adam Rose is a great example. You had him come in, you had him with the Exotic Express, he had the Rosebuds, and then they put him in a feud with a bunny. And the thing is, Adam Rose was getting over.
A little bit.
Little bit. He was a little bit slower to get over than a lot, because it was kind of one of those novelties that wore off. It's like, it's cool the first couple times you see it, and then it's like, oh, yay, it's Adam Rose, yay. So, you know, they turned him heel, they had him feud with the bunny, and that really didn't do a lot for him. And he's kind of having a hard time connecting, and one of the things that helped him connect to people was the ESPN 360 special.
Yeah, but it wasn't connecting to Adam Rose, it was connecting to whatever his real name is.
Yeah, but the thing is it's like, you had an opportunity to change his character. You had an opportunity to have him go out there as himself, and be genuine, and really connect to the audience in a way that he hadn't before. Because before, it's like he's putting on these really kind of outlandish, out there characters that aren't natural, that aren't him. It's like he's playing a party boy, and he's really not a party boy. And you can tell, it's like he does a good job with the accent, he does a good job with the acting. You know, overall it's really good, but it's just, it's like, it's not him. And if he went out there as himself, it might be different. But WWE obviously doesn't want to do that. They want to stick to Adam Rose, because they put a lot of time and money into Adam Rose, and they want it to pay off. And so it doesn't make sense to switch the character now, but that was kind of a lost opportunity to maybe morph Adam Rose more into who he actually is, and potentially get him over that way.
Right.
Because it's, yeah, I have a sick son. Yeah, you know, I have a family, and I'm doing this, and, you know, I'm originally from South Africa, and I struggled for a long time, and that kind of thing, where you bring more of that story in, and sold him that way, where he's kind of the ultimate underdog and the babyface of situations.
I agree.
So, you know, it's like everybody has their opinion on how talent should be used, but in the end, they're writing 8 hours of content, 52 weeks a year. Sometimes they're just not going to be able to get to everybody or handle everybody the way they should be handled, and that's unfortunately the nature of it. It sucks. It really does suck, because they have some really good talent. But if you've watched WWE for any length of time, you know that they get a lot of good talent, and some of it goes to waste.
I agree. What are your thoughts about the ongoing 2015 FIFA Women's World Cup event and the countries featured? Go USA, go.
Go USA.
They're in the finals on Sunday.
Who are we playing?
Japan.
Go USA.
I believe it's Japan. Soccer talk on the rack. Oh yeah.
Football.
Football's coming back in 11 weeks. Can't wait. What are your thoughts about certain members of the IWC being critical mostly about the TNA product? Hi, I'm very critical about the TNA product. Here's my hand raised up. You can't see it, but it is. I'm critical because I like the product. And if you heard the beginning of the show, we're both very critical. Just because we want to see good things with it. There are certain people who wish for its death. We're not wishing for its death.
No.
We're very critical, and we realize what they could do to fix the problem.
Yeah, there's a difference between being critical, and there's a difference between outright bashing it. I've hated the TNA haters for years. I really can't stand them. There are people that have wished death on the company since it first opened. I really don't like those people, because I feel like they never gave it a chance. I understand that TNA has its flaws. I recognize TNA has flaws, but so does every other company out there. And TNA has actually done their best to do a lot of good for the company, and for a long while they were doing good, and I feel like that people bashing it online has damaged it, because there are people out there that see those opinions and say, oh, it's shit, I don't want to watch it, and they never give it a chance.
Right, and that's the thing that goes on today. A lot of people do that. And to piggyback off that question, do you guys think TNA will survive and still have their TV deal in the USA past September 2015? And if they don't, what about their international TV deals from the outside the United States, etc.? We hope. I doubt it.
Yeah, it's just, it has not been confirmed, but it's not being denied outright by Destination America. and so it's this sort of Damocles, but with Destination America bringing in ROH and with GFW shopping for a TV deal, there could be the potential that TNA gets replaced by a cheaper product. Because right now TNA is extremely expensive to run, and they're not paying off the way the way Destination America wants them to. So that's not going to go on for too much longer.
And the only way they could survive on Destination America, they get a sponsor of some sort that picks up most of the cost from Destination America. The less money Destination America has to put out for the product, the more profit they can make, the more chance TNA will stay.
Yep. But right now, I would love to see them stay on, but I have a really strong suspicion that they are not staying past September.
What has been your favorite main roster Divas match of the past year? Paige and AJ had a few good matches in the last year.
Yeah, they did.
Paige and Natty have had a couple good ones on main event, when we could actually see main event.
Yeah, I'm trying to... Because Natty and Charlotte stands out in my mind. But that's not main roster. Yeah.
Going with a Paige and Natty match from main event a few months ago. Really good. They were given time.
AJ and Natty had a couple really good matches.
AJ and Paige have had a couple good matches.
Yeah. I mean, pretty much anything with AJ in it. It's been very, very good.
I could say this. It wasn't Paige versus Naomi versus Nikki.
No. No, definitely not. I will say Brie and Steph.
Brie and Steph was really good.
Just for the story that got told in that, that was very good.
What original programming content feature on the WWE Network do you guys like on there? Lots of stuff. Swerve is interesting. I like the List show. I like Countdown. Countdown is cool.
Countdown's cool. I like Tough Talk.
Tough Talk is really cool.
I like Renee Young's little show.
Renee Young's little show is alright. I like the Countdown show. I like the List, which is basically the Countdown show. It's just redefined a little bit. It's interesting. Actually, here's one. The Jerry Springer show is really entertaining.
I haven't watched that yet.
It goes back to a lot of the old clips. Jerry Springer just sat there. Everyone went, oh my god, I can't believe they're working with Jerry Springer. All he did was sit there and read stuff on the prompter for how many episodes they put together. But it's really cool to see some of the old footage and get, you know, his snarky commentary mixed in there. It's very interesting. It's a lot of fun going back and seeing some of the older clips that they don't feature often.
Yeah, speaking of older clips, I like it when they do the documentary specials on the wrestlers. I liked the Shield documentary that they did. That was really good. I liked the WrestleMania stuff that they did, minus them showing Taker. The Thing.
The Daniel Bryan special was really good.
Yeah, the Daniel Bryan special was really good. I really like their documentary series just because I'm into that kind of stuff where you get the behind-the-scenes look and you get to see more of who they really are, and I'm hoping that they're going to do more of that.
Actually, the Roman Reigns one was pretty good, too.
The Roman Reigns one was pretty good, yeah.
They actually used that to build him up for WrestleMania. It would have been smart. But they showed it afterwards. So we like a lot of this stuff on the network for only $9.99. Yeah. And our final question. Done after this. Now, questions. Do you guys listen to any wrestling or non-wrestling podcasts from the podcasting world out there? I listen to Wrestling Observer Radio. It's the only one I really listen to, the variety they have. Beyond that, I don't listen to any other podcasts. Like, I listen to, often, if there's someone interesting, I listen to, like, Her Taz. Taz's not bad. Jericho's interesting. Sometimes, not often. I don't listen to it often enough to get the grip of his show. I've listened to I listened to Early Austin. Early Austin on a podcast wasn't as good as probably what it is now. But Early Austin put me to sleep.
I listened to my friend's show that she just started named Untapped Potential. Untapped Potential, go Google it and listen to it. But it's not wrestling. It's pretty much them just sitting there talking. But, yeah, so if my friends have one, I'll support them. You know, obviously, I listen to the shows here on the network. And, yeah, I mean, that's pretty much it. I don't actually have a lot of time to listen to stuff. I mean, if I remember to do it when I'm at work, while I'm working, I'll put something on and I'll listen to it. but most of the time I don't have time to sit around and just listen to something. I'm usually, if I'm listening to a podcast or I'm watching something on the network, I've got my headphones in and I'm just listening to it. I'm not necessarily watching it, so, because I'm doing something else while I've got it on.
That's what I do it for. It's like I'm sitting here working. It's like, focus, noise.
Yeah, it's background noise.
Background noise to focus. So there you go. A very successful edition of Ask the Rack with 61 questions, and with a couple of questions having multiple parts, a lot of questions, and we thank everybody for playing the game with us. Because hopefully we gave you good enough answers for your questions. We may do it again at some point this year.
We'll probably do it again around Christmas for the year-end show.
Yeah, for the big year-end show, we're going to take a lot of questions.
Yeah, so get your questions ready. We'll let you know when to send them in. We may start collecting them around Thanksgiving. We may start collecting them. Who knows when we'll start collecting them, but get them ready. Send them to us when we ask for them, and, well, hopefully we get more, because this was awesome that we got 61 questions.
By the way, it makes
me super happy.
Yeah. By the way, you can send us a question at any time. It's contact@rockradioshow.com or media@wildtalkradio.com. You can send us questions, and we'll give you responses if we deem them worthy enough for air. If not, we'll respond to them via email, or you can tweet them @rockradioshow or @wildtalkradio. And the other, and at Lynn's Word, and we'll answer them there too.
Yeah, I mean, we're happy to answer any questions, so feel free to send them. Discussion topics, please. Here's the thing: if you're going to do discussion, keep them to WWE or TNA, simply because those are the easiest for us to talk about. Please don't go super, don't go deep into Lucha Underground, because honestly, we don't follow that.
No.
We don't follow New Japan. We don't follow Lucha Underground. Don't really follow ROH, simply because for time.
Yeah.
It's not that they're a bad product. I would love if I had the time to be able to follow everything, but I can't because, again, I work. So
it's just too hard in general to follow all that wrestling. It's way too much.
I have to sleep.
If you have all that time to watch the wrestling, it's hard enough just to get through the WWE stuff we watch.
Yeah, it's hard enough to watch everything that WWE puts out, then add TNA on top of it, then add ROH and upcoming GFW, Lucha Underground, New Japan, Chikara, and local indies. It's hard with everything out there to follow everything. So if you want to send us a discussion topic, we are happy to discuss it. Just please keep in mind that we only really straight follow WWE and TNA. So kind of try to keep the discussion topics are within that scope. Or at least give us like a couple weeks to research it if it's outside.
Yes. I can't add anything to that. Anyway, it felt weird to actually do a whole show. Anyway, without a pay-per-view to recap, it's been a while.
I know! We actually had to come up with content. It's crazy.
It's crazy. Anyway, this has been another edition of The Rack right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. We'll be back next Thursday night for another edition live at 10 p.m. Eastern. I was waiting for the song to kick in. It had a really low beginning. We'll get to the Twitters in a minute. Saturday night, midnight-ish, CB Radio. We are 1 week away from Rob Parks returning to the scene of the crime. Go to cbradiolive.com. CB Radio WTR, Facebook.com, so cigarette butts and Amanda. CB Radio is all the weird, the wacky, the unusual video games, comics, games, wrestling. It's all mixed together. It's going to be a lot of fun. Sunday night, we believe Tim Stein is returning from assignment, 10 p.m. Eastern, with Tim Stein, Mason Omega, Russell Talk Radio at WTR Sunday, Facebook.com, so Russell Talk Radio. Monday night is the Raw Post Show, 11:10 p.m. Eastern. We'll be back next Thursday night for another edition of The Rack live at 10 p.m. Eastern. You can follow the show on Twitter, Facebook, and on YouTube. All simple. Rack Radio Show. Simple.
Yes.
Simple and easy. You can follow me on Twitter @WildTalkRadio, Facebook.com/WildTalkRadioNetwork. Get us on TuneIn, Stitcher, and iTunes. Search @WildTalkRadioNetwork. We're on Stitcher and iTunes, Rack Radio Show.
You can follow me on the Twitters at LinsWard, LANSWRD, and go to my website, psychwarddesigns.com. If you like my artwork, if you would like to view my artwork, it is available for your viewing pleasure at behance.net/LinsWard, same as the Twitters. And please don't forget to check out the Rack Extra, which will be returning next week with the debut of Total Divas. Also, please check out our archives at rackradioshow.com. And, well, tune in every Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, right here on wildtalkradio.com. Also, please don't forget to check out our amazing sponsors, pwmania.com, tnasylum.com, The Haven for TNA fans, and Wrestling Figure Wednesdays. Go to youtube.com/mvg1211 for all your stop-motion wrestling action figure needs. So, for Rock, I'm Lindsay Ward. I wish everybody a safe and happy 4th of July. If you celebrate it, safe and happy Canada Day, or safe and happy weekend, depending on where you're at. So, until then, we will see you next week. And, everybody, thanks for listening. Bye. They're coming to America. They're coming to America.